never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
I may not be a ding dong, but I'm definitely a snack.
I'm no referee, but I know a red flag when I see one.
That was perfect.
I know. It's early. It's early.
It's early. This is a 7:15 a.m. recording, and you guys, it's Andy's Girls. I am gonna fall down. We are not meant, but I feel like morning recordings are actually good for us because we're extra fucking nuts.
It's almost like we're drunk. I feel like I'm drunk right now.
I feel like I'm drunk right now, and I have, well, not that this is any different, and you've recorded in the closet, so you know this, but I have three drinks. I would have had four, but I just didn't have an extra arm to carry it in. I have my decaf tea, which, you know, what's it with the dogs, Pavlovian, like it makes me feel caffeinated. I have a decaf iced cold brew. I have a sodium electrolyte drink. Like I'm raring to go.
Oh, I wish I had that sodium electrolyte thing. What do you drink? Because I used to get the like liquid IV little packet thing. Do you use that?
I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is actually one of the advertisers this month for our Sassilla podcast. Shout out.
Really? Look at you. Toss me a packet. Toss me a packet next time I see you.
I'm going to toss you a packet during the Zoom. Shout out to their sugar-free sherbet. I think it's called sherbet flavor, which I'm obsessed with. And I actually use it with seltzer, and then I make a spritz later in the day.
Oh. Well, that's delightful. Look at you.
You guys, I think this episode might be a little extra salty, just the way I like it. Thanks to return guest content creator, host of the podcast, High and Low, someone AGs know well as BBDB. Welcome back. Bravo, bravo, ducking bravo.
It is a joy and a pleasure to be here at 5 a.m.
It is 3:15 in the morning. And listen, I say we just dive in, okay? Because there's a lot happening and I just think we need to get started.
Let's go.
Okay, phenomenal. Also, just want to shout out, I guess, to world events. There's been a lot of stuff happened the last couple of weeks. I just realized I have not mentioned a single thing. I think it's because myself and everyone I know in my personal life, we're just flooded with stuff every day. So like, why acknowledge it on the podcast? Because I feel like I live inside of it. So I assume it's just like the acknowledgement that like, oh, this stuff has essentially seeped into my bone marrow at this point. But listen, let us dive in because speaking of news, Teresa Giudice, put up a little post on Instagram a couple days ago, and I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts. I'm going to read it out loud for the class.
Yes, please do.
I would love your perspective.
Are you going to do her voice?
I definitely am not. If you want to do it with her, with her voice.
No, I'm too tired. Okay. You do it.
I'm too tired. So I just want to note that comments are turned off, and her caption says, love you all, Teresa, which I thought was odd. Did it initially say love, love, love?
I don't know. But I mean, that'd be funny if she said that. But I think she's trying to be serious.
I do think she's trying to be serious. I also appreciated that she signed it Teresa, which makes me think of when the prince and princess of York or whatever.
Right. You got to sign it at the end.
You have to sign it at the end. You have to put the W and C so we know that it's coming from them and not from the palace at Instagram. Okay, so this is what Teresa has to say with an orange background. Very timely for fall, which we are not yet in. Okay, so Teresa says on Instagram, I have been on The Real Housewives of New Jersey for the last 14 seasons. And during that time, I have seen and been a part of my fair share of drama with my castmates. What is happening off camera on social media is absolutely disgusting and is fueled by toxic people who are not affiliated with the show or the cast and are only interested in promoting themselves by spreading their hate through false narratives and lies. It has affected all of us on the cast and our families. They are attacking our children, going after our businesses, and they are turning something that is supposed to be entertainment into something very dark and toxic. This hate and toxicity has to stop. I'm asking everyone to stop engaging in any negativity toward my castmates and all of our families. Enough is enough. Oh, and my bad, because she did actually say this at the end of the actual post itself. Love, 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 Teresa.
There it is. The thing that was my biggest takeaway, other than most people commenting to me, like, she did a great job of writing that on her own, which is to say she probably did not write that on her own. I don't know who she's working with, but what the main message seems to be is people who are not cast members and, like, not affiliated. So I don't know. There's been a lot of rumors, as we've seen this season, about cast members working with accounts online. They call them bloggers, but it's like, that's just a weird term that they use, but it's just people who run accounts, and that there have been drama and people just using their accounts to go after other people on the show. I don't know. It's a lot. And I guess we're going to talk about some of it next week. So a lot of the times what I'm seeing happen is they're kind of teeing up things that we're then going to learn more about in the next episode. So I don't know.
Well, I think what you just said is a good point, obviously, as with everything that you say. Thank you so much. But the idea of teeing stuff up. We do try. The idea of teeing stuff up, I think, is really important here, because when this went up, I think immediately a lot of people thought, why now? Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Literally, not even as a form of critique, but like literally what happened to inspire this? So to say that this post went up to potentially tie in with upcoming and frankly existing storyline that we've seen Teresa and Louis referencing their belief that Marge got involved in some way with the court situation between Louis and his ex, obviously, is going to be at the forefront of upcoming drama. Jim Leonard, who has deemed himself a friend of, obviously,
Esquire.
Esquire. Mm-hmm. PR Esquire, is certainly going to be a part of upcoming plot. And the thing that I thought was so interesting is that the framing of this language is like, this is happening by other people who are not affiliated with the show or the cast. That's made abundantly clear. But then what is going on with other people not affiliated with the show and the cast and Teresa's kids? Because she's using our children. Oh. I know it's certainly intended to be, you know, formal and all encompassing, but not that I live in the universe of toxicity on social, I really don't, but like, I don't know what anyone is saying about her kids. It's to me fascinating that she's posting this because of all of the allegations referencing screenshots she's directly in, screenshots her publicist lawyer friend of is directly in, allegations that Louis called Marge's child, adult child who we've never seen on the show because he specifically wants to remain private, making that call seen as a form of intimidation, which allegedly happened. Like, it's just so interesting that there's this othering of all of these allegations. And I mean, my question to you is, do you think this was in any way influenced by the network and the temperature in the room? Or do you think this was really more solely because of upcoming episodes themselves?
I think because of upcoming episodes, and they allegedly just filmed this reunion, not reunion, where Andy didn't host. So I think there's some stuff going on there that's prompting it, you know, for people to like say their piece and get this all out. Like, well, I've always been about us not doing this to each other, you know, and they're just trying to sort of get their ducks in a row. But I think next week, because we're going to hear from this guy, you know, Esquire, who was in the hoodie and the baseball hat. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come on and I guess tell them about how Marge has been involved in it. So I think it's sort of an airing, like a clearing out of Teresa saying, enough is enough. Here's where I stand. And then next week is supposed to be this big information where everybody's going to say, that's too far, whatever that is. So we shall see.
Have you done any deep dives into the Louis court case with his ex at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, I did the one with Vanessa. This was years ago, and I didn't know what I was going to find in there. And, you know, so that I've seen all of that. That's still in my highlights. There's three parts to it. It was really involved. But the most recent stuff I just looked at and went over in my last podcast, which is that beyond the issues that they had after they had just been engaged and trying to figure out separating their lives after living together, which is what the court battle was originally between the two. Now, this whole thing that she's talking about on the episodes is that same ex-fiance accusing him of stalking her, wanting a permanent restraining order, and them having to go to court and him saying, I never did anything to her. I don't want this, you know, in my life.
And I think one of the allegations is that he and or Bo Dietl were hiring people to masquerade as clients of hers because she works
right.
as a psychotherapist potentially. And he was, is that right?
I can't remember what kind of therapist she is, which is probably like the worst because she's very proud of being a therapist, as I recall. But
yeah, apologies. No,
that's the same thing that I heard was that, well, that I read was that in her court documents, she's saying she feels like a woman that came to see her was asking her really personal, direct questions about specifically her relationship with Louis, saying, would you get back with him? Do you miss him? Things like that, that she just felt like this woman was sent here. This woman has an agenda. And that's the allegation.
And I think their response was something along the lines of like, if that happened, which it didn't, it was to see if she was talking shit about Louis to her clients. But to me, that would open up a whole other Pandora's box of like, why would someone working in the mental health field be sharing her own personal information? Like that to me is so strange.
Okay, so but you say that. But if you recall, after they separated, she did this thing where she wore a wedding dress and she publicized her going on a run and you know, for raising money for like narcissist awareness and going on like every talk show and talking about her past relationship with a narcissist. So she has, you know, shared her personal life as part of, and I'm a therapist and I help people dealing with narcissistic abuse.
But if she's already done it, my counter to that be like, I hear that. Like, yes, she has. I'm sure she would assume she did not name him personally. But my guess is that he would be aware because of the timing of their relationship in details that she was accusing him of being this person. If she's already done that publicly, what's the need to see if she's still like, what's the point of that? Of potentially hiring someone to see if she's still doing it. Like she did it in the post. Isn't that?
I don't know. I mean, did that happen? I don't know. Did they have any way to prove that? Or is that her just thinking? Because look, if you saw her do that run and you saw her talk all the stuff about her ex and then you come to see her, there's a possibility out there that she just perceived that from somebody asking her questions about her previous experiences with it. So I'm curious, and that's why I want to read the court documents of, were there more than just a few questions that made you think that? Did you find some sort of connection between this client and this guy Bo Dietl or Louis or Teresa or somebody? Like why, what makes you think that it was a plant sent there?
Also, he seems to be fighting a restraining order pretty heavily. Now, I'm not going to assume to understand the details of what a restraining order would mean for his life. For example, a person could argue, well, if you guys are no longer speaking to each other, why are you fighting this so hard? But then I think, okay, well, what happens if you guys both go to a football game of the New Jersey football player people and you happen to be seated near each other? And even though you haven't spoken to this person in forever and haven't involved yourself with forever, if you happen to be near someone who has a restraining order against you, that could affect you legally. So I understand that part of it. But another part of me is like, he's fighting this really fucking hard for someone who also says he's moved on. The fact that this has become all encompassing, I don't know anyone who's ever been who's ever been served with paperwork about a restraining order. So I don't know how dire a situation this is, but the way it's being phrased or spoken about by Dolores, for example, is like it's sucking all of the lifeblood out of Teresa. I just find that very, very concerning for a restraining order, especially when these allegations have been around for so long. I'm not sure I completely understand how this has affected her to that degree, which actually genuinely is not a criticism of Teresa. To me, it's a criticism of like, how is Louie responding to this in their private lives? It does not feel like he's in control of himself for someone who's saying this is completely false.
And that's the thing, though. No, if you go back and you read that dive I did years ago, this relationship that he had previously was so volatile. They talk about just the ending badly, and then both people just locking horns and just a lot of vindictiveness and not stuff that you would think, oh, one of these people is a therapist. You know what I mean? And it was really toxic. Extremely toxic. So it doesn't surprise me that they would engage again, you know, if the perception was there or the facts are there. I'm not sure, I haven't read it yet, that one of them was trying to mess with the other one in some way. And so for him to fight it, I think is because he doesn't want it out there. This is my assumption, that somebody has successfully gotten an order for a restraining order against him, because you have to bring facts before a judge, and then a judge has to say, normally from what I understand, yes or no, whether or not they feel like this person is in any way being targeted by somebody else or in danger and worthy of a, because she wanted a permanent restraining order.
Wow.
And they both live in a kind of not too far away, you know, from each other area. So what you're saying about for the rest of his life, he's got to be, now she's in there for the rest of his life. He's got to be thinking about, is she at this thing? You know, so I kind of understand it from two angles. I'm not wanting it on your record that somebody has successfully gotten a permanent restraining order against you. And the reasons for it, if you disagree with them being like, that never happened, I would fight that too. And then two, just for the rest of your life, you got to think about this person. You don't have to do that.
As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And like many people, the conversation about saving and investing can feel really complicated. And for me personally, often feels like it's out of reach. Like I'm joining a conversation in the middle of it. I'm not quite sure really how to start, which is why I am so thankful for Acorns. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change, BCC, PK, and Dorit. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. That's perfect for me and my life. I want to make positive change, but so often it's hard to figure out where to begin. Acorns does that work. I always felt like in order to start investing, I needed to have one big lump sum. But Acorns takes away that kind of stress. It's small, important changes that you can make in your life for your future. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste.
And that's why Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji Water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. I started taking Hormone Harmony because for me, that time of the month feels like it became the entire month, dealing with cravings, bloating, not feeling like myself. Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. My number one, supporting hormonal balance and regulation. Hormone Harmony also helps relieve symptoms of menopause, improves sleep quality, relieves hot flashes and mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It is zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndySkrulls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndySkrulls for 15% off today. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a shit show. I would also think maybe, you know, we're not going to hear anything about this because that Fakakta reunion alternate thing, you know, word has come out since that it, like, it was fun, no drama, just chilling, which I know is going to excite everyone watching. But, you know, there's a lot of allegations around Louis that continue to ramp up about existing or recently existing companies and things that he's been involved in and allegations there that, you know, finances and business ethics are not exactly on the up and up. So I do understand why he would want to ensure that any additional compromising allegations about him would be shuttled as quickly as possible to make room for defending himself against all of the other stuff.
Yeah. And I haven't looked into that in a while either. But I mean, New Jersey, they usually have, you know, it's all like public record once it's done. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I know that Teresa wrote this by heart, obviously, just like she wrote her journal entry that sounded like a book proposal that she read during her live taping. That was definitely a literal page from her journal, 100%. And so I hope that she shares this with people on her team, including her husband and her quote unquote lawyer. And so that they get, I'm sure that they were in no way projecting their own poor behavior when they wrote this on her behalf or whatever. And hoping for the best, I guess, there in Franklin Lakes, because it sounds like Teresa's really concerned about people doing things that could be perceived as unethical, perceived because they quite literally are. And so I wish her the best. Love, love, love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Love, love, love.
Yeah. But I think it's always a dangerous thing, though, to come for the people who run the accounts, right? Because it's like, you know, that's free advertising all day long for people, and especially for the accounts who, for whatever reason, dedicate themselves to running pretty hard for a housewife. So it's always interesting when a cast member kind of blames, you know, the Bravo sphere instead of, you know, how did I contribute to this? So.
Yeah. And also there's so much blame genuinely to go around to a certain subset of the Bravo audience, including some content creators, including many content creators who are genuinely clout chasing and attention seeking by being so mired in like the darkness of trying to excavate just truly horrifying, ludicrous, ridiculous, or just genuinely gross truths or false truths about people's lives because they're on the show or related to someone on the show. For what? It's like to prove that your loyalty to your favorite housewife is right. Why do you need to do all of this? I don't know. Like, I understand the housewives economy, like this whole world and community, and some of what you can be compensated with is attention and maybe followers, but I don't know. It just seems like an awful lot of work to have to go to bat and feel that the person that you're vociferously defending and fighting for is a perfect angel. That just doesn't sound fun to me.
No, but there are some people who just thrive on that kind of negativity. And, you know, that's the danger. And I think that's what they're dealing with right now, is they're in this swirl where they were talking to people and saying negative things about other cast members. And I can't even keep up with it. But one of my followers was trying to, you know, set me straight the other day of like, okay, well, it started here. And then this account worked with her. And then she worked with this one. But then this account decided she wasn't friends with these two and she was going to be friends with the people over here. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of energy. And it's not all just coming from the Bravosphere, apparently. So.
You mean not all coming from the Bravosphere in terms of,
as
like,
in like cast members are accused, yeah, of like really starting this and being like, hey, look into this, do this, whatever.
I mean, I'm sure Jen Aiden had a tough morning when she saw this post and she was like, oh, is that how we're feeling? Oh, man. OK, let me
switch the strategy. We're switching strategy real quick.
Now we're truly love. OK,
Teresa's calling an audible. New play on the field. Okay, all right. New formation. I'm with you. I'm a ride or die.
Ladies, let's get in formation. Before we switch gears to a show that truly is filled with love, I do just want to kind of get a temperature check on New Jersey for you as a whole. Are you enjoying the current episodes? Like, what's your vibe when you're watching and when you're getting ready to, you know, deep dive them on your pod?
So I haven't really, have I done a Jersey deep dive? I don't think I have. I really haven't looked into stuff hardcore since the Louis thing. That took the life out of me. But, you know, I am enjoying it. Here are the moments that actually make me laugh really hard and bring me joy. Danielle, to me, has carried this season on her back. And you're thinking, oh, you're rewarding bad behavior for the tussle. Not even the tussle. That was not fun. Nobody wants to see that. She has the funniest one-liners when she is irritated with someone. I'm enjoying this side of Danielle. Some people, when they fight, they get so toxic and mean, as we see. She gets fun. I like a mad Danielle. I am very amused. I am clapping my hands together like Nicole Kidman, arched out. I am full of joy. Like a little tear of joy can come down sometimes. That cake that she brought with Jen Aiden slipping off the side of that cake, leaning down to her saying, you look like dog shit, by the way. Oh, you make me feel alive, Danielle. I love her.
The line reading of turning as she's about to leave and then turn in with a little glimmer in her eye, a little smile, and saying,
she, you know,
like,
so happy.
By the way, you look like shit, by the way. I could not get over it. One of the best line readings of like recent Housewives modern history. Okay. Like
to me, it's the housewife's version of grabbing the knife and then stabbing the White Walker as just like casual, out of nowhere, the end of Game of Thrones, people who know, you know. It was just like, you didn't expect it. You thought it was over, thought everybody was going home. Little stab comes out of nowhere. And the look on Jen Aiden's face, she's not used to somebody just randomly coming up to her and saying, you look like shit, by the way. And that's why she needed to hear it. It was great.
And she couldn't. I think that honestly is what inspired a lot of her obviously visceral upset right after, is like she knew that in that moment Danielle won.
I know.
Like, of course you're going to unravel. Like, she knew that Danielle fired a shot and executed it quite well. And then, of course, you're going to spin out because, like, this gal just got another point.
So good. Anyway, so I'm enjoying the show because of this tiff, not the hit. Like, that's. Yeah. Terrible that it went that far, but the way that they are having a little bit of tiff right now is really great. And also, I think the fact that it's not to a point where they can't be in the same room. I was pleasantly surprised that they could do that stay over late event, and they didn't get into it. And everybody was worried about that was going to be inappropriate, there was going to be a fight. But they might end up being friendly or something. I feel like there's a kind of a mutual respect happening, or at least Jen Aiden's like, I don't think I can mess with this one, which is interesting.
I don't know that that's mutual respect as much as like a small amount of fear.
Maybe. Either way, I think, I don't know, Jen's been put in her place.
True. And I also appreciate that you just referenced that little soiree as, would you just say? You said it was a late night stay over versus a sleepover, which they quite literally did not. Had they actually slept over, I would have enjoyed it more. Give me messy hair, weird face, like a night after Bluestone Manor. Do not give me these women showed up in full glam in their cute little PJ sets to have cocktails and then go straight home. Like, I get it. It's on theme and nobody actually wants to have to do anything. But I would feel better if they were slightly more uncomfortable having to like sleep on the floor or on a couch or whatever.
Bond, right? Like, those are the moments when you think of classic Roni and they wake up and Luann's like, got the deeper voice and people are joking and Bethany's like, I'm gonna die, I need water. And Sonia's crawling somewhere and there's errant poop on the floor. Like, that's the stuff, that's the magic, you know, that's that Bravo just amazingness that we crave, those real moments. So, and then them talking loosely about when the cameras went down and we just look into the wilds and we say, oh, if only the cameras have been up all night, the crazy things these women get into organically and on their own. So yes, I agree. It's kind of a want to be like, nobody's staying late at my house. They're just going to stay late and go home. I'm like, all right.
Before we shift gears, and I swear to God we are, can I just get a temperature check from you on Marge? How are you feeling about Marge these days?
So, I mean, seems like she is steering clear of Teresa, not causing any drama there, dealing with her husband, concerned about that. And it seems to be a difficult season for her because, you know, Jen Fessler, she was close with, and now there's been some bumps in the road. And, you know, Jackie, complete fallout with Jackie. And she's very close with Melissa still. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, I see, you know, that it's not an amazing season for Marge, because how can it be? But she had some great, her and Jackie having the tiff and her sending that text, like, those are some great moves. So I don't know. What about you?
I think she's spent this season trying to recalibrate, knowing that Louis is still there. I think for her, she's running into a lot of her own personal, not like personal drama, but just upset that this man is still there and she can't seem to find herself on solid ground. And some of that sure might be aimed at Teresa directly, but I think also what we're seeing here is someone reckon with the fact that maybe she thought she was going to be better protected by production and she realized she wasn't. And now she's trying to figure out a new kind of path. I think she really genuinely thought he wouldn't be back. And I think she really genuinely was very upset about the fact that he was going to return, because he's still married to Teresa and the network had no interest in cutting her loose. And some of what Jen Fessler has spoken about, you know, she said she didn't directly ask me to leave, but I told her I would go because Marge was trying to figure out a way to put pressure on production to cut him loose. And then Jackie was saying, no, she directly asked me to go. I think she was flailing a little bit before production started at the idea that she would have to continue essentially working with someone who she felt like engaged in incredibly problematic behavior. And now she's in a season where I'm sure she's aware that she is going to be looked at as the person who's creating all of this drama off camera. And if you believe what she fervently believes happened with Louis calling her son, I could understand how a person would just be a little bit out of it to a certain extent, like bewildered that there is no bottom in Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that she is recalibrating, as you said, and figuring things out. She's also, you know, she shows up to these events and she has been several times, you know, a peacemaker, trying to kind of tone things down. So I don't know. it's an interesting season. It's tough when there's so many people who have lines in the sand with other people at the same time.
Yeah, and I think it's probably difficult for her because the person that she, you know, really had as a partner in her corner was Jan. And now she's reckoning with the fact that he's no longer there. What does she do with all of that extraneous energy? And, you know, who does she share her confidences with? She didn't want to do that with Joe because maybe it would be overwhelming to him, or she just always had Jan as that partner for her in her life. Like, she's just, and Jackie's gone, and I think she's had questions about Jen Fessler's loyalty, and you know, a person could make to me understandable criticisms about Marge and maybe questions about what she's done on social media in potentially, you know, communication with other content creators, whatever the current word on the street is, which I just genuinely don't follow. But I also think that, like, this is the difficulty in New Jersey is trying to figure out how to make your way through here when they're really, it truly to me feels like more of the Wild West than anywhere else. Because at least on other franchises, if you have these moments of aggression and potentially physical contact, to me, they feel like more of an isolated incident that can be looked at, viewed through a specific lens, and then dealt with by members of the cast, dealt with by Andy deciding who he wants to criticize and who doesn't. And that's a fascinating view when you look at that list. But like, thinking of the ways to, like, look at this is like, this is a thing that happened because temperatures were too heightened and we're figuring out a way to work through it. And the network will try to exhaust themselves in using that as, like, huge, huge promotion for the season, even though they're like, no, don't do that. But also, that's what we're going to use as the framework of the trailer. On New Jersey, it's different because it's not really about physical contact, although we saw that between Jen and Danielle. To me, it's like the underbelly here is so dark that even the network doesn't really want to acknowledge it. They're doing so very, very sparingly on Watch What Happens. They make sure that it's isolated questions from viewers that are pre-vetted. It's, and Andy maybe does half of a follow-up. He's not really digging in here, I think, because they know it's a very bleak, widened sea. And it's just so interesting because on other franchises, not only are they held to account, but they're, I just don't think the vibe there is as dark as it is on New Jersey, especially because you don't really know what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, and even if we kind of have a timeline, like my follower that was trying to help me out and say, it started here, then this account, da 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 da. Like, even once you have all of that, we're having to take people at their word and trust screenshots and different people's stories about what happened. And she said this. It's exhausting. It's confusing. People are angry about it. So it's almost like two different versions of a show going on, one that we see, one that we don't. And it's just as infuriating to watch both and not know who to trust and what really happened. So I don't really like that undercurrent of it because I'm like, I already have, like, this phone call to deal with and a PI, and what did he look up? And, like, it's, and I think that's where Jersey is exhausting people. And I hope that Bravo can see that. And that, you know, if Teresa makes a statement like that, my only really positive takeaway is maybe the behavior will stop for everyone now. Maybe they will stop relying on random accounts to just put more negativity out there and spread rumors and whatever it is that actually went on.
As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And you know who else is? My dear, close, personal best friend and also deity, Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is actually the reason that Google launched Google Images, because of that infamous Versace dress. And she's still, 20 years later, more sought after than ever before. With skin like hers, it's not a surprise. Love don't cost a thing, but I don't want to continue to wait for tonight. Whoa. And thanks to J-Lo Beauty, we can glow right along with her. Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit. The one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. And much like my dear best friend, Jen, I absolutely agree. My personal favorite is JLo's Limitless Glow face mask. It is so soothing, easy to apply, cleansed my skin, had the mask on, and truly was having a spa night at home. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for listeners of Andy Scrolls. Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. That's jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/AndyScrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/AndyScrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy is an incredible tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. For me, I'm always nervous about the unknown. But sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. For me, therapy has been an incredible motivating part of my life. It has helped me personally, professionally, with the podcast, learning more about myself, how to improve setting boundaries, working through problems, big and small. It has been the single best tool in my life to better my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/AndyScrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AndyScrolls.
Yeah, or maybe they'll just try to go darker and more anon and how they do it. I just don't get the sense. I felt like Teresa's statement, I'm not getting the sense here, nor probably should I be, because that would be perhaps too obvious, that like they really understand they cannot continue doing these things anymore. So the way that this has been phrased of like, I have been affected by these other beings who are infiltrating this universe, does not make a gal feel great about what is probably still going on. Because I don't know. I think once you open Pandora's box, how do you close it again? How do you say, I'm not going to continue potentially doing these things that allegedly I've been doing for more than a hot minute? And also, if you're doing it with people who are part of your personal life because you're maybe married to them or paying another one by the hour, I don't know how you change those relationships and say, let's not, or maybe I wasn't aware, or I was a little bit aware, but let's completely recalibrate and stop doing that stuff first off, I would argue it's way too late, number one. And number two, I just don't know if you start or become that person who's going to play that hard and that dark. I just don't know why you would stop if you haven't been taught that lesson. And the issue for me is like the network sometimes, what's the thing of throwing an audible? What's that called? What's that word like in sports? What's that called?
We mean like just making a new play, calling a new play or something?
Yeah, I think, oh, that's a different kind of sport thing. I think in the world of flag football, if the network isn't even charging Shan to get the little red thing from her belt or whatever, I just don't know what that says to future cast members and future franchises. Because you can point to Franklin Lakes and say, how are you telling me I'm going too far when there are so many rumors about what happened for the cast of New Jersey and you guys did nothing? They just ignored it. To me, it like, not to say this is like quote unquote reality reckoning, but I think what the network and production has done for New Jersey is a real true detriment to other franchises, because now you see you're totally unprotected, number one. And number two, how is there no line? There has to be a line involving the kids. And like, yeah, things are so dark that I'm reading a statement from an original cast member directly naming the fact that people shouldn't go after children. And I'm thinking to myself, this is so late in the game here that it makes me concerned if, God forbid, someone did something else involving a cast member's child, and it would be so deeply unsurprising. What does that say about how fucking toxic that universe is? And also, when we talk about casting New Jersey and how to move forward, you cannot recast this show and include any element to me that's connected with people harassing or utilizing children of housewives. Otherwise, it's done. You can't do that. It's too fucking dark. It's like, it's just too dark. There's no control over content creators, although the network, I think, should be saying something about that. If you know that the Bravo universe has gone fucking dark and evil in certain subsets, you should be saying that's bad.
And they have before. They have fussed at us before, because when everything happened with Garcelle's son, the statement that Bravo made was like, hey, the fans are out of control. And we're like, what? We would never. This was not a fan thing. No one in the fandom that we know of. It could have been some toxic random, but this was not a reflection of the Bravosphere.
But the Bravosphere has gone after kids. Like before Gia, who I would argue to me just personally is like, to me, I just like, please don't. It gets too dark to me like to go to critic. And I get it. Like she's on camera. Look at me. It's literally not saying words out loud. She's on camera. So I understand that people are like, we have the right to criticize her. But I just think people go so far with so many of these other kids that like that does exist. Followers will try to find out whose child where and then send minor children a DM. Like Portia Umansky had to deal with that. But with Garcelle's son, I felt like the only reason that production was even saying something to a certain extent was because it was so fucking past the point of sending racist death threats to a minor child, but also because they were trying to say, and also this has nothing to do with a current cast member. Like to me, it wasn't just about saying what should be obvious to people. Do not send threatening racist messages to minor children. I would argue also adult children, but to minor children. It's disgusting and disturbing. But also, what conversation are you having with your cast? Because it's connected. The things that completely separate from what Garcelle went through with her kids, but because it wasn't just one of her sons who was affected. It was essentially all three. And there were things that were discussed there about her older son and what he's gone through with recovery that were just past the point of completely just disturbing. But like things that Rinna has said, things that other toxic cast members have said that like encourage and feed into this off-camera universe and cycle. It's like you can't just... You can't just say the fans are doing too much if there are cast members who encourage this. So what's the line? It drives me insane. It drives me insane.
My hope is that behind the scenes, that producers, people at the network, all of it, because usually what I've seen happen is that somebody has a deep criticism of what the heck is going on this Bravo show, whatever it is. And the Bravo NBC response typically has been, that's produced by a secondary thing, and we're working with the secondary production house, whether it's Shed Media or whomever else is in charge of that particular franchise, and we're working with them and blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of like finger pointing when things happen of like, well, that's not our responsibility. It's somebody else's responsibility. But my hope is that from Papa NBC Universal, something has come down to the cast member saying, we don't like what we're seeing here with XYZ. Whether it was, I think it was clear to everybody after that that season of Beverly Hills that that is the kiss of death for a cast member. Do not ever, ever engage in anything like that. That was horrible. Everybody in the Bravosphere raged against that. Everybody at NBC condemned that. So that became a horrible example of like, this is going too far, right? But then when it comes to Jersey, I hope that they're having the same kind of realization behind the scenes of like, we almost ruined our own show. We don't have a reunion. Everybody's on shaky ground. We've taken this too far. You're shaking your head now.
No, I don't think that they're having that conversation. I think that they should be more concerned about liability here. I really do. Because I think that they have set a terrible fucking precedent. Of not directly saying what's going on here is happening and it's real. And the way that it was framed on last season's reunion part three of like, did Louis do it versus did this actually happen? It became so much about trying to prove Louis's innocence versus what fucking world has this show, what has this show turned into where this would even be a possibility where someone would endeavor to find out where this kid, adult child works so that he can be intimidated in some way versus, oh, was he making it up? Is Marge lying about it for attention? Like, it's just so fucking dark. And you know how I know that the network at the end of the day doesn't give a shit or feels like they don't want to say something because they don't want to lose specific members of the cast? Because it continued this season. There was no change in behavior. There was no change in behavior, except that certain options were exhausted because maybe those kids were already intimidated. So you had to move forward into another something else. Members of the cast still felt very comfortable crossing lines and having some sort of exchange of currency, including a perception of having a friendship with people, which is a huge form of currency. You want to feel like you're important and this person is returning your text messages, so that's enough. Or being sent screeners or whatever else, or thinking of things
to put
online so that they can be used as plot. There was no turn of toxic behavior, which tells me that the network doesn't give a shit or feels like they're not in control. And they're okay with that because they made no changes in the cast. And I don't see a change in the landscape. And now we're saying, well, because everything's so toxic, we need to make some changes. But are you really interested in changing the landscape? Or are you just trying to get a little bit less of pressure in the room? Because it's like, treat these cast members to a certain extent like you would treat your fucking children. If your kid is acting out and you don't say to that child, you're acting out and there are consequences for your actions and actually having consequences, then all their fucking cousins are going to be like, well, I guess when I have a sleepover at Real Housewives of New Jersey, I'm not going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is the responsibility of Bravo. These are their employees. So only time will tell if this statement on the orange background, it really means anything.
It's really getting me very interested in fall. I want to light a pumpkin candle. Like, give me some pumpkin spice for that. I love a darker orange color. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get out of this heat. Let's get ready a little bit of a burnt sienna energy. Let's get ready for whatever's happening. And, listen, this is going to be obviously a two-part episode. So let's shift gears because we need to get into the actual light. That is Orange County. So if you're listening to this episode, and you know how I know that you are because you're hearing me talk right now, shift on over to part 2, available now.